I want to say I thank the Lord for allowing us to come to God's house. It's an honor. It's an honor to be able to make our way to God's house on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know, if you think about that action that we do, what we're doing, you know, it would be the same as, well, if not greater than the children of Israel making their way up to the Temple Mount there at Jerusalem to go into the temple and offer sacrifices. Yet here we are, we make our way to the house of God, and our sacrifice has been made already. And the price has been paid already. The blood has been shed already. And we're redeemed fully. Are you listening to me? We are saved. And we're not having to wait. We're not postponing sins. Our sins are gone. Amen. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for the church. And thank God for His Word. Amen. Here in Jeremiah 36, Jeremiah, the Bible said in verse number 1, "And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book." Now go on down verse 20. "And they went in to the king into the court, and they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama, the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. It came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, He cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king, nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan, and Delaiah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. But the king commanded Jeremiel, the son of Hamelech, and Sariah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdeel, to take Baruch, the scribe, and Jeremiah, the prophet, but the Lord hid them. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, after that the king had burned the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, "Take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, had burned." That's as far as I want to read for sake of reading. In this story, you have Jeremiah the prophet, and you have this scribe, Baruch, that and you Bible students know that a scribe, a true God-fearing scribe, was very careful to write every word as is spoken from God to the prophet. If the prophet said anything, no matter what the word, he made sure to write that. It was important that every word of God was written. Everything that God wanted written was written. And so here God has found the king in Judah and Israel. They are in sin like they have been at many times. Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. And you know why that he wept so much? It was because of the condition of the people. It was the condition of the kingdom. Jeremiah, known as that weeping prophet, Jeremiah was definitely one of the major prophets of God. And here he is being commanded of God to speak as God gives it to him, word for word. Now this says something about the Word of God. It should say something to us about the Word of God in this generation. That God spoke the word to Jeremiah the prophet, word by word. And this teaches us, as a lot of people say, well, you know, maybe that God just kind of inspired them and let them write it the way they wanted to. Oh no, friend. Here God is telling Jeremiah every word to speak. And Jeremiah is telling Baruch every word to write. And the king Jehoiakim doesn't like what he hears. He doesn't like the judgment. Now listen, before God gave it, he said, maybe they'll turn from all the evil that I mean to do to them. God would have gave them grace had they turned from their sin and their ways. God was going to let them hear the judgment of sin upon them if they didn't turn. And so you know what the king does? He's having it read to him in the winter house, and he rips it with that pen, page after page, and he throws the scroll, the roll, the writing of Jeremiah's scribe, Baruch, the word of God that was given to Jeremiah, given to Baruch to write. It is the very word of God. Every word of God. And he's burning it. And people begged him not to burn it, but he burned it. Now, when God came back to Jeremiah again, do you notice what he said? In verse 27, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll. Let me ask you something. Do you think what was in the second roll was any different from what was in the first roll? It absolutely was not. Now that says something about the preservation of God's word. Men today, they don't want to believe that God can preserve his word. Just the way God said it. If God can preserve his word from Jeremiah having it written and the king burning it and God telling him to write it again, every word, if God can preserve it like that, don't you know that God can preserve it over 6,000 years? The very words that our God had told in the beginning to Adam, that the seed of the woman would crush or bruise the head of the serpent. It's the same promise that it was that God spoke 6,000 years ago. I believe that. Now listen, I believe that we as an English-speaking people have the inspired Word of God in this King James Bible. Not the New King James. It's a mixture. It's a mixture of the text God had preserved and the Alexandrian text that came out of Egypt. And anything that comes out of Egypt is corrupted. It's the world. Are you listening? It's always shown to be corrupt. And the Sinaitic text, what they had found at the foot of Mount Sinai in a garbage can, that's what the Catholics are using for their Bible. Now listen, I'm saying all that to say this. You and I, God wants us to believe in his word. And God wants us to trust in his word. God wants you and I to have the words of the Lord. He wants us to be able to speak the word of the Lord as God gave it. I believe John 3:16 is as God gave it. And God wants us to speak it that way. God, well, listen, there are so many men today that do not believe in the preservation of God's word, and they change it. They change it. Listen, that's as bad as what he did when he burned it. Are you listening? And people today, they're trying to do hurt to the word of God. You know why they're trying to do hurt to the Word of God? It's because it is the very foundation of the righteous. You know what the Bible says in the book of Psalms, chapter 11 and verse number 3? He said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You and I, listen, you know about a foundation. Listen, if a foundation is destroyed, a building will begin to shift in a direction that the architect never meant for it to go in. We are built upon, the Bible said, upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Now, I'm not a good carpenter, but I know a little bit. I know what a cornerstone is. A cornerstone is the foundation stone that everything else is squared off of. Everything, listen, you start right there on that foundation stone. And you begin to build on that foundation stone. And everything is squared on that foundation stone. Because that foundation stone, it's level this way. It's level this way. Are you listening to me? It's level this way. It's in the right position. Christ is our chief cornerstone. And He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Listen, the world today is at an all-out attack on the church and upon our foundation. Our foundation is the Word of God. You need to know that you can trust and that you can rely on the Word of God. People are offended, just like Jehoiakim, this king, is offended at its words. They would just soon burn it, lay it to the side, and get something new, something that interprets something better. That's what they're doing. He's attacking, Satan is attacking the Word of God now more than ever. Jude verse 3 tells you and I that we are to earnestly contend for the faith. You know what the faith is? It is a body of revealed truth. We contend for the faith. That body of revealed truth. You see, the doctrines that are in God's Word are many. And when people say, we don't need doctrine, oh my, what an ignorant statement to make. We are to earnestly contend for the faith. Earnestly contend. That means you and I should, it's a spiritual warfare. We should fight for the faith. Contend for it. That body of revealed truth. We know about God's love and we defend it. We know about God's grace and we defend it. We believe in eternal salvation and eternal security and we defend it. We believe in the blood of Christ as the only remission for sin and we defend it. We believe that a man must be born again and not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. Listen, there's a lot of seed that has been corrupted. You have to listen. You cannot. Why in the world would we believe in a God that created everything and couldn't keep His word? People want to think that God just left it in the hands of men. Do you know how messed up men are? Do you know how messed up men mess up things? I mean, you got a bunch of messed up men messing up things. We wouldn't have one drop of God's Word if it were an ocean to what it used to be. If it's 6,000 years later, we wouldn't have one drop. Why? Man messes up, corrupts everything he gets his hand on. But I believe, as God has said in His Word, that He preserves His Word. That every word of God is true. That verse is either right or it's wrong. It's either true or not. Now go get me another translation in the English language. And we're going to put them side by side. And one of them's going to say one thing, and one of them's going to say another thing. Every word of God is true. Now, which one is it? You have to believe that God is able to preserve His Word. That's why we look back at the ancient text where our King James Bible comes from. We look back on that. We look back and we see the early church, and that Christ Himself received what they received as the received text, the textus receptus is what they called it. It's what was received. It was inspired. No error. Infallible. There are no, you know, there's no things that do not, they do not contradict one another. Men, smart men, try to say there's contradictions. No, there's not. There's not. I've never seen one. I've never known any true Bible student that's ever found a contradiction. Oh my, listen. The Lord said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass. Do you think this king thought he could get it to pass away because he burned it? Well, burn it, it'll be gone. God told Jeremiah, get another scroll, write it down just like it was before. But you know what? God gave them more things on top of that. New judgments that He added. Why? After He replaced the original, then He added some more things. You know why? Because now they were in a whole new kind of trouble. He had burned God's Word. They's going to be, listen, He was in deep water. He could have turned from. But now He's even in deeper water. There's more judgments fixing to come because of this sin of Jehoiakim. You talk about a wicked man. Talk about a wicked king to shun God's Word that way. The Bible said that all Scripture in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration of God and is profitable. Amen. It's given by inspiration. God inspired him. God inspired him to write. God knows exactly what's going to happen. That's why He could 2,000 years ago tell us what was going to happen in the end through John the Revelator. Do you think that God said, John, what do you think's going to happen? Just write it down. Just help yourself. You know, use your imagination. No, God didn't tell John that. God gave him everything that he said and wrote. He was in the Spirit of the Lord on the Lord's day. What the Bible said. The Spirit of the Lord on the Lord's day. There on the Isle of Patmos. Laid out there to die. And John began to write. Amen. John began to write the great book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. What was he talking about right off the bat? That the one that came and was dead is alive forevermore, and he's coming again. Amen. 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 He wanted to, right off the bat, give us that hope of our Lord and Savior. There were going to be some fearful things that was going to take place at the end of the last days. But he was letting us know we wasn't going to be a part of that. Amen. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What could we do, church, without a Bible? What could we do without God's Word? There's nothing that you and I can do. Everything that we are, everything that we preach, believe, live by, comes through God's Word. It is our foundation. Christ Himself is the Word, capital W, Word of God. He is the living Word. He is our foundation. First time I ever read that, I thought, that's amazing. Our God, after it was all burned, right back again, write it again, every word. Boy, you talk about inspiration. You talk about help. I mean, what makes, listen, if Ed had waited 100 years till God come back, God knows what he said. Amen? God knows exactly what he said. He's able to tell men what he said. There have been men that said things. Daniel, years ago. John, thousands of, I mean, my goodness, hundreds, no doubt, hundreds. I don't know how far away from one another they are, but quite a stretch. Same visions concerning the same things, the end time. Just looks just a tad different, but it's the exact same thing. Enoch prophesied, "Behold, he cometh with 10,000s of his saints." We don't listen. People say there's a book of Enoch. Don't believe everything you hear. You listening to me? If there was a book of Enoch, God wanted us to have, we'd have it. But God let us know in this book that Enoch did prophesy about the coming of the Lord with 10,000s of his saints. Amen. Bless his name. That's in the beginning. Thousands of years before it would happen. Why? Because God knows his word. And his word doesn't change. Does not change. Heaven and earth again shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. They're not going to change. The flower withereth, the grass thereof, or the grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of our Lord endureth forever. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Listen, trust in what we're standing on. Trust in what we're standing on. When absolutely everything around you seems to be shaken, trust in what we're standing on. Trust in the Lord. He'll get you through. He's going to see us through. He will see us through. I'm glad that that's all in His hand. That's all in His hand. Bless His name. Well, I'm done. Thank you for your attention. Let's stand.